With the latter days upon us, we are approaching that time spoken of in Scripture when the world will be suddenly awakened to the approach of Christ's return to earth. Jesus and Mary have come forth in our time to alert the world's peoples that soon there will be sent an explosive warning from the heavens in which every person on earth will hear the voice of their Creator speaking from within. This will be a worldwide catastrophic occurrence of unprecedented magnitude which will shake the entire planet. As we understand it, a piece of a comet will break off and strike the sun, creating a blinding flash throughout the earth, which will begin the warning. This event will be seen and experienced everywhere by all peoples, and will be universally acknowledged as having come from God. Though the warning will be awesome, it is not intended to be a punishment, but is simply a warning of the punishment to come should society fail to amend its present course. For we are told that the world today is in a far worse state spiritually than in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Rampant abortion, homosexuality, and oppression of the poor are just a few of the crimes of our time that are bringing upon us the ultimate chastisement in which we will see nations disappear in moments. As Our Lady has said, it will be a third world war and the end of our era. Hence, God in His mercy will send the warning in a final attempt to reach His children of earth before the hand of justice is placed down upon the world. The warning will be of short duration, approximately 15 minutes, though its aftermath and repercussion could last several days or even weeks. St. Michael's World Apostolate hosted a special meeting in Philadelphia back on November 9, 2003, which was designed to inform the public about the coming warning. SMWA President Michael Mangan delivered the talk to a host of interested guests who had the privilege of being present for this special engagement. The presentation was recorded so as to make it available to our listeners today.
The major topic, ladies and gentlemen, of this meeting this afternoon will be on the Great Warning. And when we talk about the warning, we're talking about the warning. Not a warning, but the warning. We all have warnings. We may have a warning from our parents, from our boss, a superior. We may have maybe a warning from God, a personal warning from God, a close brush with death, maybe an accident, something that prompts, pokes our conscience, maybe gets us back on the straight and narrow. So there's all types of warnings. But Our Lady and Our Lord are talking about the warning that is coming soon upon us. And when we talk about the warning, it's something that has never happened before. We have never seen this in the world before. In fact, Our Lady's exact quote is, it has never been seen in the world before. Totally unprecedented. And as we proceed, perhaps we can start with a textbook definition of the warning. It might read something like this. The warning is a worldwide explosive incident of catastrophic proportions which will result in a personal and profound enlightenment from the Eternal Father that will give to every soul upon earth the opportunity to make amends before the great fiery chastisement wherein billions will be lost. That's with a B. Or simply put, it's a final heads up from God to repent of one's sin or face physical and spiritual ruin. And thank God, Our Lady and Our Lord have educated us tremendously on the warning in the messages of Bayside. There is probably no other resource in the world that has spoken about this great event like Our Lady at Bayside. And we thank Our Lady so much because forewarned is forearmed. We can prepare ourselves spiritually and physically, bodily, for this imminent great event. And you're going to hear in a short time, brothers and sisters in Christ, Veronica the Cross, who experienced this warning, and it's a very intense experience. And you're going to hear that, very, very impressive. But Veronica describes this warning as, she said, it's like it's the end of the world. If you didn't know better, you would think it's the end of the world. And she talks about a huge explosion in the sky. And Our Lady and Our Lord speak about, have said a few times in the message, flash fire and the voice within you. And so you have this explosion. From the explosion, you have the big flash. And from the flash, you have this heat that will rain or descend upon mankind. And during this time is when the Eternal Father will intervene with each and every soul upon earth, regardless of race, color, or creed. Catholic, Muslim, Jew, king, queen, president, janitor, cook, chief bottle washer, it doesn't matter. Each and every person will have this intimate, quote, visit from the Eternal Father. And I put this in quotes because this visit will not be exactly tea time with the Eternal Father. It will be very personal and very revealing. Veronica speaks about her soul on fire. She says it feels like the burning fire is within. And at this time, we will have a revelation of our sins before us. It will be like a mini judgment, if you will. You will see yourself as God sees you, not as you see yourself or someone else, but as God sees you. It will be like a mirror of your conscience before you. And another way of looking at it, it will be an epiphany for each and every person upon earth. Now, epiphany means a divine manifestation. We've all heard about that great feast day that we celebrate every January 6th, in which the three kings of the Orient followed the star until they were led to their divine manifestation, the baby Jesus, our Savior, in the cave, in the manger. That was their epiphany. The epiphany for many people in the world may not be as pleasurable or as favorable as that. For many, as Our Lady said, it will be terrifying. And for some, it will be deadly. But each and every person will experience this. And interestingly, when you hear this audio portion in a short time, one thing we noticed in further study is it appears that during this warning, you're going to hear a voice that, if it doesn't say this exactly, it will say something like this or give the indication. Your warning before chastisement. It sounds like we may hear those exact words or something like that. Your warning before chastisement. Because in a sense, the warning is heralding the great chastisement. It's announcing, it's giving notice to each and every person upon earth that this great chastisement will soon come upon us if we do not heed this merciful act of the Eternal Father. And just a quick recap, what is this great chastisement? Basically, it consists of the 6 days of suffering. The first 3 days is a nuclear war, a holocaust. And the next 3 days is the ball of redemption, or a great fiery comet that the Eternal Father will send upon mankind to virtually end the war, because we literally would blow up the entire earth and its peoples. And so you can see that at this great event of the warning, the good Lord is going to announce or alert everyone of this pending chastisement if we do not act upon this warning. And it's interesting that Our Lady chose the word effective on December 24th, 1973. We have to pray that the warning is effective. And no doubt, there's no question, this will be heeded and recognized by many. However, to what extent, we don't really know. And what is the bar that the Eternal Father has set? For instance, is it 50% or 50% favorable response? And if only 25% respond favorably, then the chastisement will be on its way. Unfortunately, the message suggests that the warning will not be as effective as heaven would like it, because they've said that the chastisement will follow the warning. But again, the ball is in our court, yours and mine and all of mankind. It's conditional. And that's the beauty of Our Lady and Our Lord's message. There is a chance, an opportunity for each and every person to act upon this and to avert, delay, or mitigate the great chastisement. And why is the good Lord sending this great warning? Well, I'm sure all of you are attuned to the state of the world and spiritually attuned to the state of affairs in this world, but it's good to review this. And one thing we found, dear friends in Christ, is that particularly even for the veterans, when you talk about the warning or when you study it, you might say, well, gee, I know about this. I've heard this. I've heard this for 10 years, 20 years, whatever. But one thing that James and I observed in the Lay Order of St. Michael is, as we reviewed this topic, as we studied and prayed on this topic, it's amazing how much new stuff comes to the surface, or you have a different look, a different angle. You never tire, really, of this message. It's like reading the Bible, reading the Word of God. You could read it many times, but when you have an open mind, when you're praying and studying and open to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, new insights and revelations are given to you every time. And so it is with the warning. So we really urge you to study it and to stay tuned. And we know from the message that this warning is being sent because of sin. We have lost the sense of sin, Our Lady has decried in the message, and to her children. We are in deep darkness, Our Lady has explained. When we really look back at the Catechism, Baltimore Catechism, and even in the New Catechism, they mention about the four sins crying to heaven for vengeance. Think about that for a moment. The four sins crying to heaven for vengeance, which means really immediate chastisement or punishment. So a quick review. The first major sin is abortion, or willful murder. The second one is homosexuality, the sin of Sodom. These are both in great abundance today, as you well know. I mean, abortion, my goodness. Our Lady said in the 80s there was like 50 to 60 million abortions being performed annually. What is it now? And this is each year. My goodness, how patient can the good Lord be? And of course, the advances that the homosexual movement have made in just the last year or so obviously has to be very discouraging to the Virgin Mary and to God, that this lifestyle is being recognized and approved and applauded by our leaders, even by some of our spiritual leaders. And as grievous and offensive as these two sins are, the third, fourth sins crying to heaven for vengeance, oppression of the poor and defrauding the labor of just wages. Those two sins are also in great abundance throughout the world. The injustices How often have we read about these sweatshops in Central America and beyond, making, what, $150 Nike sneakers? And they're making $40 a week? So that's why we need this warning. In many ways, this will be a tremendous blessing in disguise, as intense as it is. It's going to be of tremendous magnitude. But we need something to shake us up. And that's what this warning will do. It literally will shake our tree, each and every person, up and down, inside out. And Our Lady speaks too that with this warning, we mentioned that that it is an explosive incident. But Our Lady and Veronica also described the warning as the sky rolling back. And that's just what it says in Apocalypse chapter 6, 14. So the warning is all about Bible prophecy too. And there's other passages in Holy Scripture that refer to this great warning, but particularly the sixth chapter of the Apocalypse, verse 14, describing the sky rolling back. Just like Veronica describes in the message at the time of the warning. And the obvious question, too, is when will this be? Of course, Our Lady, Our Lord gave us that hint in 1976 about our Holy Father. When you see, when you feel, when you hear the revolution in Rome, when you see our Holy Father fleeing and seeking refuge in another land, know that the time is ripe. That could be a major indicator. If this is the Holy Father that's going to flee, that would be a major indication. But you should be ready anytime, anywhere. Anyhow, you should be ready. You never know. Veronica talks about it happening suddenly. So always be prepared. And Our Lord said on June 18th, 1988, that the warning should be prayed against. We don't want this to happen. You and I don't want this to happen. This is going to be very intense. It's going to be terrifying, as we said, for many. And yes, there will be deaths. Our Lady said there will be deaths. The warning is not meant to be punitive. It's not a punishment. It is what it denotes, the word. It's a warning, giving each and every person an opportunity to repent of their ways, to see, well, gee, what do I got to do to change my ways? As you and I know, so many of the people today in the world are not friends of God. They're not walking in His way. They are not observing His Ten Commandments. They are not following His rule of law. They are not His friends. They are His foes. And so, the good Lord is giving an opportunity to these people to say, oh, wow, okay, I got to change my life. I got to repent. So I will not suffer eternal banishment in hell. And so it is a beautiful, wonderful, merciful act from God to give each and every one of us an opportunity. But nonetheless, it's going to be huge. It is to be prayed against, Our Lady said, because it's not going to be a walk in the park by any stretch. But in regard to the date, ladies and gentlemen, as we've stressed too in our brochure, in the Heaven Speaks Today, number 17 on the warning, it really doesn't matter when it is. It could be tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. It really doesn't matter. The most important thing to realize is that the person is changing their ways. They're repenting of their ways because it's the right thing to do. Because they realize they've offended their God, the one who was crucified, who shed His blood for each and every person upon earth. They realize they have offended Him. And so they're doing it because they love their God. They honor their God. Jesus and Mary are seeking true and permanent conversions. They don't want anyone quote, repenting because of a date or because of fear, because that type of conversion is built on sand. The first trial or storm that comes along, it's going to be washed away. They want it built on bedrock. And it's going to be built on bedrock when someone with their own free will sincerely and lovingly repents of their ways and makes an earnest effort to amend their ways. That's what it's all about. And as we have said so often too, even as we await this warning, and we're living in very difficult times, there's no question about it, but Jesus and Our Lady have said that only through struggle will you be successful. So do not get discouraged if sometimes you trip and fall. It's that perseverance, that grit, that love, that dedication that Jesus and Mary are looking at, that effort. That's what Our Lady spoke about in the message. She's looking for effort, not necessarily results. Keep plotting, keep working. That was one of the last words of Our Lady to Veronica in locution. Only through struggle will you be successful. And the good news, ladies and gentlemen, with this warning, and there is a lot of good news with this. First of all, Jesus and Mary have promised that those who are faithful and true, this warning is stress-free, worry-free. You will go through this warning, quote, without suffering. Without suffering. You obey Our Lady and Our Lord's message, keep a good sacramental life, read your Bible, make that earnest, honest effort we spoke about, nothing to worry about. Stress, worry-free. Beautiful promise, isn't it? Nice gift. And on top of that, ladies and gentlemen, there's no reason to think, too, so many of us are conscientious in our spiritual life. We're trying to sanctify and grow and prosper with the graces given at Bayside and in our sacramental life. There's no reason to think that during this warning, for the good souls, friends of Jesus and Mary, that the Eternal Father can't intervene and give you some nice spiritual direction. Something that will be a boon in your spiritual life, a plus. Jack, you're great, you're doing okay, but you need to work on your patience. Or whatever your particular weakness or defect or imperfection you need, or maybe you've been praying on. What do I need to do, Lord, to conquer this? Or to grow in the Lord? And perhaps you will get that intimate and personal direction from the Eternal Father. Many will be converted. There's no question about it. No question about it. Many good souls that are confused, confounded, they're being held back from this beautiful apparition site in the graces by priests, as James mentioned, or others. I think it's all going to come together at the warning. Like, aha, now I know. Now I know what the story is. And we speak about the priesthood. No question, too, as Our Lady said, too, that the clergy are going to be jolted during the warning. And that's a blessing, too. Certainly, I think most of us here realize that they need that jolt. Our Lady and Our Lord have said so often that their heads are in the cloud. They're clueless. They don't get it. And we say that respectfully, but it's true. I'm sure it's your experience as well as ours as well in our travels and our work throughout the nation and the world. So they're going to finally get it, the good ones. They're going to be more open to tradition and realize the beauty and effectiveness of the traditions in the church that they're rejecting, discarding, dismissing, mocking right now. They're going to, wow, wait a second. This is what it's all about. It is the rosary and the brown scapula and the 40 hours and kneeling for Holy Communion and the traditional Mass and the Latin. It's the traditions of the church that are the anchor. That's the bedrock of the church as it has been for 2,000 years. Most of these innovations, these changes, are really post-Vatican II. There's no precedent to them. They're not effective. They have not stood the test of time. Like the rosary, like the traditional Latin Mass, like the brown scapula and the 40 hours and the adoration and so forth. And interestingly, too, Jesus speaks on June 13th, 1981, that for the Illuminati, the warning will be a major setback to them. Their plans will come to a screeching halt, if but temporarily. And we know that the Illuminati is that, as Our Lady explained, is a conglomeration of individuals and or organizations, bankers and powers that be, bankers, financiers, and powers that be, whose goal is to bring about a one-world government and a one-world religion. And they're well on their way. If your eyes and ears are open, you can see it unfolding right before our eyes right now. They're going to suffer a setback at the warning. And lastly, obviously at that point, at the warning, there'll be a huge amount of credibility, finally, for the apparitions of Bayside. It's going to be an enormous revelation for all of us, for all the good people. Finally, our beautiful mother, under the illustrious title of Our Lady of the Roses, Mary Help of Mothers, will finally be recognized for the graces and the blessings that are flowing on her holy grounds to you and me and for anyone that is open to them. Well, you will only know in the next life how many souls have been saved through Our Lady at Bayside. I know I'm speaking for most of you here that were it not for Bayside, where would we be? Most of us would be on the wide road. If it were not for the powerful, beautiful, and gracious presence of our dear Blessed Mother of Bayside, of which we are thankful 101 times, 1,000,001 times, that she has come forward in these latter days to give us this guidance and wisdom of which we are so thankful for. It just brings to mind, too, at the time of 9/11, September 11th, 2001, of course, Our Lady predicted that in 1986, that as horrific as that was, I'm sure most of you were like, yes, this is bad, this is tragic, but you were able to cope with it. You were able to deal with it because you know this stuff is coming. You have the grace and the strength. You didn't feel like you were hit over the head with a 2x4 like most other people. I remember the next day in our parish, our pastor walked out and he just was dazed, confused. He didn't know what to say. He was stunned, shocked that this could have happened. And yet, we all understand this. And we know that worse things are going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, barring a reversal of man's ways. Get ready. Dig in. That is going to pale in comparison to what's coming down the pike. And we certainly don't say that gleefully. Of course not. Who wants that? We were down at Ground Zero. I was down at Ground Zero reporting for St. Michael's radio program. I witnessed firsthand the tragedy, the horror, the carnage. It's not a pretty sight. But unless we repent of our ways, unless we become more God-fearing, ladies and gentlemen, that's what's going to happen. That and far worse. But again, we thank Our Lady for giving us that peace, that stability, that strength to bear up under these terrible trials. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that is just a brief synopsis on the Great Warning. We could do a 5-day seminar on this if you wanted to, but obviously we're just giving a very brief synopsis. And those are the high points on this. At this point, what I'd like to do is I'm going to play, it's a 5-minute portion on Veronica experiencing the warning and also Our Lady describing it in even more detail.
Thy kingdom come. so everything has exploded in the sky. The flash. And it's very hot. It's very warm. Oh. Oh. It feels like I'm burning.
Ah. Well, that's great.
Now.
The Lord is with thee.
The sky is very white.
Blessed art thou among women.
Colors.
And blessed is the fruit of thy
blues, purple. It's like a huge explosion. Now there's voice.
Hail Mary.
The voice.
Full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.
And the voice.
Is the fruit of thy womb.
Our Lady says there's a voice within you.
Hail Mary.
Your warning. Before our chastisement.
Blessed art thou.
Flash. Fire and the voice within you. The final warning before chastisement.
Hail Mary.
We now switch over to the recorded segment of Veronica receiving the message from the Virgin Mary on June 12th, 1976.
My children, you must pray more. Do much penance. For the warning is coming upon mankind. There will be a tremendous explosion, and the sky shall roll back like a scroll. This force shall go within the very core of the human. He will understand his offenses to his God. However, this warning will be of short duration, and many shall continue upon their road to perdition. So hard are the hearts hardened now, my child.
Hail Mary, full of grace.
As the day follows night, so shall this warning follow soon. Beware of the sunrise. Do not look up to the sky, the flash. Close your windows. Draw your shades. Remain inside. Do not venture outside your door, or you will not return. Pray, prostrate yourselves upon your floors. Pray with arms outstretched and beg the mercy of your God the Father. Do not seek to receive your animals into your homes, for the animals of those who have remained of well spirit will be taken care of. Oh, my children, how many will try to go back and restore their homes when it is too late? Keep blessed candles, water, blankets, food within your homes. The candles of those who have remained in the state of grace shall not be extinguished. But the candles in the homes of those who have given themselves to Satan shall not burn. Amen. I say to you, as night follows day, a great darkness shall descend upon mankind.
Okay, at this point, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start the question and answer period. And I know you've been a very attentive audience. We've hit you with a lot of stuff. Is there anyone that's like brand new here? I meant to ask that before. Anyone that's just being introduced to the message? Oh, the two sisters. How did you find out, sisters? Through a brochure? Yes. Good. Well, we're happy to have you, sisters. We pray for all the good nuns every day. What order? The Bernardine Sisters of St. Francis. Well, God bless you. God bless you. Always a pleasure to see wonderful nuns, and I see you're in your habit. That's one thing. St. Teresa has appeared at Bayside many times, and Our Lady, and they have begged for the nuns to wear the habits. They have begged it, and I know, boy, that takes a lot of courage for you to do that. I know you probably get ridiculed and persecuted amongst your own, no doubt, because we've spoken with many nuns that also believe in Bayside and joining up procession on the sacred grounds, and they really get persecuted just for wearing that habit. It's like, well, isn't that why you enter the convent? Our Lady has explained, sisters, that you need to wear your garments, because your garments are a sign of your dedication and love to Jesus and Mary and your vocation. Those were the specific reasons why they want you to wear your habit. And unfortunately, as Our Lady said, or St. Teresa, that unfortunately many of the nuns have become foolish maidens. Those are the exact quotes from St. Teresa and our Lord, foolish maidens. But it's good to have you, sisters. We pray for you as well. And I know you're doing good work. We need good nuns in the vineyard of the Lord, praying and sacrificing and reaching out with acts of charity to your neighbor. Loretta was saying that she takes comfort in the fact in Holy Scripture it says that one believer in the household will be sufficient to save other family members. And I can't imagine any faithful mother who is praying daily for her children through Our Lady of the Roses intercession, receiving the Eucharist and so forth. I just can't imagine that Our Lady and Our Lord can't hear your prayers. We could give you numerous examples. Remember the homosexual whose dad went to his bedside and tried to have him repent, and he refused. His friends were making fun of him, of his dad and so forth, said, "Get out of my hospital room." He was dying of AIDS at the time. His son even said, get out of here. Well, he was persistent, kept coming every day. And finally, the son saw the light. He repented of his sin. He heard a priest. The priest heard his confession, died with the brown scapular on. The father wrote to the shrine. The story was given to Veronica. As she read the letter, she got a locution from what we now know was the gentleman's guardian angel. The locution was, if I can recall now, "Glory to God in the highest. Behold the advent of a sinner." This gentleman, through his persistence in prayers, not only on his dying bed, but obviously it must have been in his lifetime, he was persistent. He won for his son eternal salvation. What about Perry Montemiro? Remember his brother Fred? He lived a life of adultery by his own admission. Perry's brother, and Perry said the same thing. He lived a life of adultery. He was on his deathbed, and Perry visited him in the hospital room, put on the brown scapula. He died with it. He appeared to Veronica, not to Perry, to Veronica, because she is a seer, and basically said, "Thank you, Perry." That's what he said. "Thank you, Perry." And Our Lady explained that graces can be shared. So when you pray for your family members, they can be shared and dispensed. So there's so numerous examples. We've all heard about St. Augustine and Monica. St. Monica prayed for 20 years and won for her, won the conversion for her son.
And our Lord is saying, thumbs up, the key is in the warning, they'll be back. So it was amazing.
Oh, that's interesting, Ethel. Yes, so Ethel was just given confirmation from a miraculous picture that she got that there is great hope with those who are praying for their children who are strayed, that are not on the straight and narrow, aren't practicing their faith. She got a nice miraculous picture as she just explained. Right, right. Good question. Your first name? Claire. A good question, Claire. Claire is saying that the warning, as we understand it, will last. The actual warning or divine intervention will last, as we understand it, about 15 minutes. But, Claire, there's going to be the aftermath in the morning. When you have an explosive worldwide incident like that, yes, we expect electricity down. We expect some destruction or damage. It might take a week or two before things are up and running. Before there could be a blackout, electricity down. There may not be the plumbing. Who knows? When you have something of that magnitude, you want to be prepared for at least 2 weeks. There's definitely going to be an aftermath with something like that. One thing that's so interesting, ladies and gentlemen, as you well know, is that with Our Lady's messages, it all can be documented from other reliable sources. You do your research, you go to the library, and there's other periodicals out there that are saying the same thing, that back and support what Our Lady and Our Lord are saying. In regard to Pope John Paul II, of course, we continue to pray for him. We know that his passing seems to be imminent. He himself has remarked on it and has commented on it. Apparently, this is the Pope that will flee. And of course, when we say flee, we don't mean that he's going to have his Nikes on fleeing. I mean, he could be in a helicopter, he could, whatever, could go in a vehicle or something, and he will be in exile. And at that point, perhaps the thinking is we'd consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary after the warning. But we do have to be open to anything. I mean, if for some reason he does pass on, maybe through prayers, we might get another decent pope. Possibly. You do have to be open to anything. It doesn't seem likely. The understanding is, at least Garrett Mandel seems to indicate that this is the last pope. You know, the seer there has said that. Of course, we're still awaiting the great pope and the great emperor that Vise Dumont speaks about in the Catholic prophecy. So that's probably after the warning, or after the chastisement, for that matter. But this appears to be the last pope. Now again, things are conditional. If there's anything you and I know, the message is conditional. The events are conditional. We all know the story of Nineveh. You know, the prophet Jonah? Our Lord says, I got a job for you. He says, uh-uh, I know how you work. I don't want the job. Well, God chased him down and says, listen, you got to warn the city of Nineveh. It's going to be destroyed in 3 days. He's, you know, you can see Jonah, oh no, we're going to be made a fool again, you know. Well, he announced to the whole city, you know, 3 days are going to be destroyed unless the king ordered sackcloth and ashes from the king all the way down. Even the animals donned the sackcloth and ashes. The punishment was averted, and Jonah said, see, you made me look like a fool again. So, you know, but the idea of, we don't want these things to happen. These are warnings. These are chances for people. So, right. Good point, Claire. Yeah, good point, Claire. Claire was saying that she thought that it's probably the Vatican that's really, really putting the lid on Bayside, if you will. And you might say that, yeah. I mean, Our Lady said the Judas is in the hierarchy. Judas is. All you have to do is Cardinal Sunens. Remember the bishop from Belgium? I'll tell you, look at his video. We have his video. My goodness. How liberal the damage that this Cardinal Sunens did from Belgium is incredible. I mean, he wrote the book The Nun in the Modern World. That book was instrumental in stripping the nuns of their garments and putting them in lay clothes. He was against Humanae Vitae. He was in favor of married priests, the charismatics, ecumenism, the community is the church, all of these vague and broad and nebulous notions about the church and everything. You name it, this guy was for. And yet, look at, he was a high-ranking churchman. He was an advisor to Pope John XXIII and Pope Paul VI. There was a good Mother Superior. I don't know if you heard this before. This is true. A good Mother Superior, that her order had done tremendous work in evangelizing the Christian message throughout the world. And she visited Pope John XXIII. And he knew at the time the work that this order was doing. I forget the name of the order. And he said, and the Pope said, look it. He says, I'll give you anything you want. Your order is great. You've done great work, and plaudits go out to you for the good work that your order has done. I'll give you whatever you want. What do you want? She says, I want Cardinal Sunan's head on a platter. That's true. That's not a joke. And that's what she said. This is what the influence that this bad cardinal had. Remember him in your prayers.
The movie The Passion should be coming out. The Passion's coming out in the year 2004 in either March or April. So pray very hard for Mel Gibson that he gets this great movie out. It's going to do a lot of good. The Passion by Mel Gibson. It's going to do a lot of good, and they're trying to kill him. He's had death threats on his life, his family. They threatened to kill his whole family. So pray that Mel Gibson gets this great movie out, The Passion. We want to see that movie. It will do a lot of good, and a lot of Catholics should repent when they, after they see this movie. People are going to know, especially at the warning. After the warning, your sides are chosen. You're either with Jesus and tradition of the Roman Catholic Church, or you're with Satan. There can be no more ducking behind trees and saying peekaboo. They've been playing peekaboo since Vatican II, you know, the modernistic church. But after the warning, it's going to be clear. You're either with Jesus, traditional Catholic Church, or you're with Satan.
That's one thing with Bayside. Remember we pointed that out, ladies and gentlemen. And remember this. The seer is deceased for 8 years. Veronica of the Cross I'm talking about. We're going on 34 years. This mission is still going. It's still going rather strong, if you will, considering we're fighting City Hall. We're fighting the Catholic Church. We're fighting our families. No one likes us. We're the lowest of the low.
And yet we're still going.
That is a miracle.
Yeah.
I mean, can you see that? That testifies right there that this comes from the heart of the Eternal Father. How could you possibly keep going like this? We should have folded at Veronica's passing, if you will. Even before that, if you will. But we're still going. Veronica would be the first to say, this mission was not about her. She happened to be the seer, and she was the vehicle for the message. Veronica being as humble and holy as she knew this mission would go way beyond her passing. She prepared us for that day. Our Lady prepared us for this day. She said, this mission has to continue when I pass on. She asked me in January 1994, obviously, through Our Lady's guidance. A year and a half before she died, she asked me three times, will you promise to continue this mission after my passing? I was like, what? Why are you doing this? Yes. Do you promise, Michael? Yes. Do you really promise? Yes, Veronica. It's like, gee, you know, why are you doing that? That's kind of weird. Now we know. All the good people here that are really going forward. I mean, I said that in the opening. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. The dedication of the Regina and the Andes and the Charlies and the Jeffs and the Jones, and there's so many ways to contribute to the cause, you know, and it's impressive to see your dedication, your devotion. The seer is gone 8 years. There's no messages. There's nothing, I can't say there's nothing sensational. Miracle the doves, wow. These cures, the miracle babies, the breast cancer cure, the miraculous photographs, the conversions. A lady returns the sacraments after 50 years because she reads Our Lady's message. The last time she went to confession was in 1952. That's when Elvis was king of rock and roll. Again, please forgive me. Obviously, we can't mention every name here, but it is impressive, all the good work that you guys are doing, and you're doing it against all odds, but you're doing it, you know what's so impressive? You're doing it because you love Our Lady. That is inspiring. You love Our Lady. You have the true faith. Wow, it really, that's what keeps James and I going, the lay order of St. Michael and our mission. I don't know how else I can say it. I can rip my heart out and say it, but it's so impressive. It really motivates us and gives us the incentive. Yes.
Thank you, Michael. And that was SMWA President Michael Mangan, assisted by Vice President James Donahue. And indeed, James, we couldn't agree with you more that we eagerly await the release of that movie, The Passion, by Mel Gibson. If there is one thing that the world and the church is suffering from today, it is that it doesn't have the image of Jesus crucified before its eyes, thanks to these ungodly changes since Vatican II. So a movie like this is needed to help correct our vision, but especially, most especially, the Great Warning is now needed to put the world back into focus. And this being said, no less of the priests. Because, as Our Lady has said, the clergy today are in a fog. Therefore, she has said, I quote, the Father plans to awaken those who have fallen asleep in his house by a great warning. And that is the Great Mother of God speaking November 24th, 1973. And of course, these prophecies and revelations have come to us through the late seer, Veronica of the Cross, who we listened to earlier. That was a live recording of Veronica receiving the message from heaven during one of the Rosary Vigils of Bayside in New York. Over 300 comprehensive messages were transmitted to the world through Veronica, acting as a voice box for heaven. And of course, Our Lady, through Veronica, has given us all the necessary directives on how to prepare for the warning. Namely, that we say the daily rosary, keep the Ten Commandments, that we return to the church and sacraments, but that we do it the right way according to tradition, which would mean no communion in the hand, no receiving from a layperson, no women on the altar, no guitars or worldly music in church, or participation therewith, no handshake of peace, no community celebration. The idea is that we stay in a state of grace and keep Christ crucified before our eyes and await the warning. And this being done with our brown scapular and sacramentals upon us and our crucifix upon the front and back doors to our home. And again, Our Lady outlines the essential provisions that we are to store for the warning. As she said, keep blessed candles, water, blankets, food within your homes. Therein, Our Lady is seeing to our basic human needs for light, food, warmth, and water. But in keeping with this, we're also expected to use our God-given reasoning too. For example, she says, keep blessed candles. But in order to use candles, you have to have matches on hand too. Or where she says, store canned food. But with canned food, you're going to need a can opener and a manual one at that, because there's not going to be electricity during the warning. And of course, you'll want to store those foods that require no heating or preparation. For example, peanut butter and tuna would be excellent storage items. These are highly nutritious and sustaining. Our Lady says to keep blankets, because it's going to be very cold during the warning. The temperature on Earth is going to go down because the sun will be out of commission at that time. But again, you can't walk around with your blankets on all day. You're going to need some warm clothes like thermals, sweaters, sweatshirts, etc. And of course, your water is going to be a very valuable item, but you want to use it wisely. For example, you might fill up your bathtub ahead of time with 60 gallons of water, and from time to time you can take a bucket's worth and pour it down the toilet for your flush, because you don't want to waste your drinking water for that. And we should store our bottled water in tight containers, Our Lady says, replenishing from time to time, and store it in the dark, away from any sunlight. Our Lady says that our drinking water is to be pre-boiled before use. And of course, the full story on the coming warning is contained on our full-color leaflet on the warning. And as an addendum to that, we've now published a special leaflet which focuses on the storage of provisions and all the necessary steps we need to take to be physically ready, this being based on the outlines put out by the American Red Cross for safety preparation. These items are available to you at no cost upon writing to us. Address your correspondence to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. And upon sending us $4.95, we will send you a cassette copy of this tape, or a CD upon request, so you can start playing it for your friends or people in your prayer groups. Our Lady asks that we be apostles of the last days and bring this urgent news to our fellow men, and this would be a perfect way of doing this. That mailing address again for all the information, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website, www.smwa.org. And may Our Lady bless you in the days ahead.